Hello and welcome to Technology Today. This is your host, Rich Kasmer. On Technology Today, we discuss technology issues of the day and examine how technology is affecting our lives these days. And as I see every week, it seems to be having a bigger and bigger impact as time moves on. This week has been no exception. A lot of technology happenings out there, but we're fortunate this evening to have a guest in the studio with us. We have George Pace from Keep Pace Technology. George, thanks for being here this evening.
Thanks for having me, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing well tonight. And we're going to be talking about a topic we haven't covered on this show yet, which is big data. I've heard the term before, but and I have some sense of what it means, but probably not a real good idea. So George is an expert in this area, and so let's just start off. George, I'll give you an opportunity to introduce yourself. Let our listeners know if there's anything they maybe can follow along on a YouTube channel or a website or something, and I'll give you another opportunity at the end to give out some contact information. But why don't you give a little bit about your background and what you're into?
I've had a fortunate career and a varied career. Studied computer science at Seton Hall University when computers were still the mainframes and punch cards. And since then, I've progressed through a large number of technologies and experiences. In a sense, I like to joke, I was blessed with a last name I can do something with because I get to help people keep pace with technology. I do a lot of enterprise architecture work, but I also try and take complex technologies and make it simple for people to consume.
Okay.
In a nutshell.
Very good. So let's get to our topic for the evening. What is big data? What does that mean?
What is big data? Well, I guess the quick answer would be it's about a lot of data, but that really doesn't do the topic justice. What I would say is if you were to do the Wikipedia search, you would get the definition something along the lines of an all-encompassing term that talks about data in any way or any format that it could possibly be in, ranging from a picture, a video, a blog, a tweet, a Facebook post. It really talks about all data. But when you get into the topic, what you really learn about big data is that it's the ability to process data in its native format without having to go through the traditional work of getting data into something like a relational database. You basically put it on a spindle and you get to access it. And in reality, probably everyone that's listening has accessed a big data application. It's called Google. And really, the advent of big data becoming a term started with Google, to be honest.
What caused people to start looking at it that way?
Yeah, it's one of my soapbox topics. So for a lot of years, we've had a technology such as relational database. And relational database, for those not familiar, it's like a series of spreadsheets where you had rows and columns. It was limiting in the sense that there was a defined process to take data and basically go through a normalization to get it into a relational database. Unfortunately, relational databases were not designed to process databases of the size of an exabyte, a zettabyte, a yottabyte scale. So certain types of data were hard to process. In 2004, Google produced a white paper. It's called MapReduce. And it basically talked about how you were able to go to the site and instantly get a response from Google that reflected websites and pictures and videos in sub-second times. Yahoo was having a problem processing its log files. They saw the white paper and said, hey, we could use this. And there was an underlying series of technologies that were built that form the foundation for big data today.
Okay. So from that, it doesn't sound like there's any clear definition of how big the data needs to be considered big data.
Correct. So it's interesting. If you look at technology today, everything generates data, and it has generated data. Video, the Internet of Things, which is another fascinating topic I'm looking at, sensor data, just using something going down the parkway in Easy Pass. There is a tremendous amount of data that gets generated. That's one aspect of big data. But again, it's to me, it's about the ability to process the data regardless of its format. That's the true value proposition.
Okay. So this question doesn't really have too much application, I don't think. But at least to put it in some perspective, I think people generally have an idea of how much is a gigabyte. The next level up is a terabyte. You touched on a couple of acronyms or words that describe higher levels of data.
Right.
What is the progression there?
I actually wrote it down because I figured this question was going to come. So we go from gigabyte to terabyte to petabyte to exabyte to zettabyte to yottabyte to brontobyte.
Brontobyte.
Brontobyte. So these are really big numbers.
Unbelievable.
I don't know how many zeros, but there's a lot of zeros.
I hadn't heard beyond terabyte yet until I was looking into some things for our conversation tonight, and I saw petabyte and exabyte, and I hadn't heard the two beyond that yet. Interesting. So you've given some indication of why it's become important, but why has it become important so widely?
Wow.
I mean, there's a lot of companies that are starting to look at things from this perspective, correct?
I would almost say it was a pent-up demand for something that needed to exist but didn't. And one of the ways I tried to explain this over the years is if I told you that a solution could fit into a 10-pound box, and as long as the solution fit in the 10-pound box, I could deliver your solution.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is people were coming to the table with 20 pounds, 30 pounds, 100 pounds,
mm-hmm.
but they were limited in a sense by the underlying database technology. What this has allowed people to do is take advantage of what's going on in the world today, such as social media as an example, sensor data, the Internet of Things as an example, and be able to take data that is proprietary to a company and begin looking at how it may relate to the outside world. And there's many companies that believe there's a value proposition in doing that to potentially mine your my preferences mm-hmm. to potentially sell them more goods and services. That's one aspect of it.
So in the past, did people take their large amounts of data that didn't fit into the 10-pound box and put it into multiple relational databases?
They may have thrown it out. Mm-hmm. They may have ignored it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the funny terms I've heard in all my research has been for for servers, as an example, log file data, or when applications run, there's actually metric data that gets generated. That data is referred to as exhaust data.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, exhaust data wasn't processed, or if you processed it, you processed it when you had a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And outside of that, you never really used it.
So what are some of the challenges regarding big data?
That's a good question. It's probably a lot. Newness of the data is probably one. I'll put my Yoda hat on and saying unlearning what you've learned. For what, 40 years now, relational database has been the backbone for most IT professionals. So there's a well-known pattern, or there's a well-known process of looking at data, organizing the data, loading the data, and accessing the data. And there's a lot of best practices and a lot of experience in doing that. When it comes to big data, it starts becoming an order of magnitude of, okay, instead of a 1 gigabyte database, you have a 1 zettabyte database. Now the problems become more interesting. A SQL query is probably going to give back more information than you could possibly process. How do you begin forming relationships between disparate data sources? So when you have a SQL database, you have something that's called a schema, and most people can look at the schema. In a sense, there isn't yet the concept of a schema, although there are some things that are working on organizing that data. The next challenge is something that is called a data scientist, and that is someone that's very good with statistics and math that can create algorithms to effectively process the data to basically extract or eliminate the noise to get to the potential data. And then finally, if you've done all of that properly, then the question becomes, how do you effectively take the results and put it into a format that can be consumed by the business? There's a multitude of challenges and a multitude of opportunity.
Yeah, for sure. So I think it might help our listeners if you can give an example of, or two, of big data applications. You've touched on a couple, but maybe you can go into a little detail on some.
I'll give you one of my favorites about, 5 years ago now, 6 years ago. You may have seen on Jeopardy, the IBM Watson that beat the humans. The underlying technology that was used to load the data into Watson was called Hadoop. A big data solution. I believe it was Hadoop. And that actually was a source to load all of those sources of data into the Watson computer so that it could begin searching on it.
What sources of data went into it?
I don't know all of them, but encyclopedias, news. That's why it was funny on the final answer. The final answer was so off. I later learned that Watson, as it was built, was not initially built for Jeopardy. They were actually building it to give more of a guidance of a top 10. And when the Jeopardy challenge came along, they actually had to tweak Watson to come up with a specific answer. What's more interesting is that there are other things IBM is looking to do with the tooling. And just imagine sources of content that would be really big, like law. There's a lot of law out there. Well, what if a technology could parse through all of that data to make someone's life easier? So that's one immediate aspect. There's others that, on Wall Street as an example, they're actually looking to mine data from multiple sources, blogs, Twitters, to do something called sentiment analysis. Now think about this. What if you could develop a trading program that could buy and sell stock based on the perceived sentiment of a stock? We are just at the precipice of seeing the different approaches of taking data and leveraging it for some form of gain. And you don't have to go much further than the last presidential election, where the President Obama's team actually used big data as a source to help them figure out who was going to vote for them.
Interesting. George, thank you. We're going to take a quick break here. You're listening to Technology Today. This is your host, Rich Kasmer. We're here on WDVR FM 89.7 in Delaware Township. Translator station W220AG 91.9 in Lawrenceville, Princeton, and Trenton, New Jersey. And 90.5 WPNJ in Easton, PA. You can also listen live on the web at WDVRFM.org. We're fortunate to have a guest in the studio this evening educating us on big data. That is George Pace from Keep Pace Technology. And George has given us some great definitions and examples of big data. George, how is the industry handling this? Are there companies that have formed to specialize in big data? And what companies might be involved in?
Oh, there's a number of companies that have gotten involved. As you might expect, the big technology providers such as IBM and HP and, you know, anybody that has anything to do with technology is trying to get their their foot in the door, so to speak.
Okay.
One of the opportunities isn't so much in, from my opinion again, not so much in the underlying file system, but what they call the analytics side of things. And then the visualization side of things. So as an example, Tableau is one of the more popular brands that are out there trying to take the results of a big data result set and being able to create a visualization of that data so that it can be read by businesses. But there is no lack of need in the space. So if you want, for listeners out there, if you wanted to go into a really interesting technology, look up the word data scientist, and it's a field that is growing, and there are clearly jobs in that space.
Are there specific software tools out there that a company can purchase and use to make sense of the data?
One of the interesting pieces of big data is a fair amount of it is based on open source. So the underlying file system, or one of the more popular tools, is called Hadoop. And Hadoop is a what you can consider to be a file system, even though it's an ecosystem, much like the word Linux talks about an entire operating system. Hadoop talks about an entire ecosystem. But there are other tools. One way to get started with this, and there's another term in the big data space that's called NoSQL, N-O-S-Q-L, which is a misnomer as well, because there is a SQL-like query language. It has to do more with the fact it's not structured data. MongoDB, M-O-N-G-O-D-B, is one tool that's fairly popular, that's free, that you can actually download and begin playing with to understand how you can ingest the data and how you can go about querying the data.
Is that from one of the well-known open source organizations or some new one that's popped
it's,
up?
Mongo's its own thing, but you could go to some of the more well-vetted ones. I believe that Hadoop is under an Apache license, but there's a number of associated tools you can get. And some of the names are rather funny. There's Hive, there's Pig, as in Pig Latin. So there's a number of interesting tools that you can get started tomorrow on.
And how do you get involved in big data? What role do you play?
How did
you get involved, and how do you get involved?
I do a lot of work in the open source space. So I've been involved in open source for, I don't know, it seems since about 1999, so I guess the past, whatever, it's been 14 years. One of the things that came out was cloud computing and big data kind of hit at the same time, both of which are based on open source projects. So I started looking at the fundamentals of it. At that point in time, I do looking at how you would actually put together more of an enterprise architecture around what would it mean to put or stand up a big data solution that could take large amounts of data into it. So more of just kind of a planning and figuring out the business value of it has been my initial foray, shall we say.
Okay, interesting. And where do you think we're going with this? What do you think the future holds?
I like to tell a funny story. I went to a conference about 2 years ago, and it was the group that was Moneyball, for the Oakland A's back and whatever. And they were suggesting a new product that they were working on. So think of this. I'll date myself. I'm a Mets fan. And Tom Seaver is an example. So if you were to look at Tom Seaver's statistics over time, Tom, you know, would have a number of strikeouts and wins and ERA. Well, what they believe is, or what they're trying to figure out, is can they take the statistics of how fast the fastball is and how slow the curveball is and predictively, or try to predict, if a pitcher is about to have an injury. And I sat in the audience dumbfounded because I had never thought of that. So what I would suggest is, while there are some things that might be immediate that you could go through and, you know, typical IT stuff, could we find performance or can we find some trending analysis? Those are the first ones. It's going to be interesting to watch what comes next. And the space is called predictive analytics. So you've seen it with the Nest device from now Google, where can they aggregate all of the information from those thermostats, basically, and help drive or predict the cost of energy prices, as an example, or potentially where the consumer may save money based on what's going on in the environment around them. So we're in the early innings of all of this.
You mentioned the use of big data during the last election. Are there government applications that you've come across?
Yeah, there's this one thing you might have heard of called the NSA. So it's not clear what exactly they can do, but the fact that they can, you and I could start a company tomorrow and begin ingesting data from sources such as Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter. So there's nothing that stops us from doing it. Imagine with a government having substantial resources, they could begin ingesting that data and begin to process it as well. So if you know a little bit about the space, you can start guessing about what they might have had access to.
Okay.
I follow that one with a lot of interest.
All right. George, we're just about out of time, but again, I'll give you a chance to point our listeners to, again, your YouTube channel, website. You can provide your email if you want,
sure.
Phone number if people want to call you with questions, whatever you want to share.
Sure. So my YouTube channel, which I'm experimenting with the video, which is an amazing thing. If you go to youtube.com/keeppace, K-E-E-P-P-A-C-E. I've always said it's great to be blessed with a last name you can do something with. My site's www.keep-pace.com, although that's under construction at the moment. And if you want to send me email, you can send it at to george@keep-pace.com.
Great. George, you brought up a term a couple of times, which was the Internet of Things.
The Internet of Things.
What's the definition of that term?
So the Internet of Things, from my research so far, it's really going to be how do you blend a number of sensors that anything in your home. As a quick example, you could have a key fob, and when you come to your front door would have a lock that's enabled typically via Bluetooth that you could open the front door. When you walk in the front door, a sensor could pick up your key fob and put your Sonos music on. It could turn lights on and off. It's basically a form of home automation today, but it's probably going to extend to all things being a sensor or at least communicable that you could do something with.
So that is, does that include the smartwatches and the Google Glass and pretty much anything?
It could.
Any kind of devices
connect
into the Internet?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Trust me, it's a fascinating topic. I could come back and talk to that as well. I'm about 2 months into my research so far.
All right. Well, I'd love to have you back to discuss that a little bit further. Anything else you want to add about big data as we're closing here? We've got about another 30, 40
seconds. Sure. I would just say it's a fascinating space. There's going to be a lot of opportunity in it for the years to come. There's a tremendous amount of resources on the Internet to read up on. The key topics I would tell you to look at are data scientist, Hadoop, and for those that are really, really techie, you can look up the R programming language, as in the letter R, and that's a whole statistical-based open source program that's used to process big data result sets.
Is there a website that covers activity in this space or a blog or something?
Yeah, one of the best ones I found is on Google Plus, and it's a group called Data. That was probably one of the better ones, but and of course, because you asked me, I just drew a blank on the other site. But yes, there's a number of them out there.
Okay. Well, George, thanks for being here this evening. I appreciate you sharing all that information.
Thanks for having me.
This has been Technology Today with your host, Rich Kesmer. Feel free to give me a call during the day with suggestions for any topics you want to hear about on the show, 908-419-2834. And I'll remind you, as usual, to make sure you're backing up your important data. And have a great week, everybody.